It's time for your weekly dose of Wayne's Comics.
Welcome to episode 279 of the Wayne's Comics Podcast. Thanks so much for listening. I'm just returned from the recent C2E2 convention in Chicago, and what's turning into a yearly event is that I get to talk with some of the great Valiant Comics people. This year I got to speak with two of them, and you'll hear those interviews in this episode. The first is my talk with Dinesh Shamdasani, the CEO and Chief Creative Officer of Valiant. We talk about Exo Manowar and some other good things that Valiant is up to these days, including the upcoming Harbinger Wars 2, which I'm sure you're going to want to hear about. Then everything wraps up with my talk with Daniel Kibblesmith, who's going to be writing Quantum and Woody when it returns in the next several months. And he's also scripting the Valiant High School series that's now on Comixology. He's also got what I like to call a night job on a show that you might recognize, which may lead to us seeing a famous late-night TV host in the comics sometime soon. There's a lot to get to, so let's get on with the show. I'm talking today with Valiant, and I'm going to let him say his name because it's so beautiful I can't get it.
Dinesh Shamdasani.
Yeah, see, I'd butcher that terrible, so I'm glad that you get to do it. Now, it's Valiant Comics. Talk to me about where Valiant Comics is today and what kind of things Valiant is trying to accomplish.
We're looking to accomplish the same thing we've always been looking to accomplish, which is tell the best stories that we can, produce some of the best books in the business, and where we are today is we have a tremendous roster of talent, and we're just trying to top what we've done before, and I think we're feeling pretty good about doing it. We just launched Exo Manowar number 1, which is the biggest selling independent book of the year, but a lot of people saying one of the best Exo Manowar stories of all time as well.
Why don't we talk about Exo Manowar? Because you're just celebrating 25 years of the character. What's it like to have a character that's been around that long?
It's a tremendous honor to be the custodians of that character, because you have people like Bob Layton and Jim Shooter that have taken a stab at that character, Barron Smith, Joe Quesada, Rob Venditti, Carrie Nord, and now with the current run, Matt Kinn and Thomas Chiarella. And so you have this great blessing to be able to help shepherd the character into a new era, but also a tremendous responsibility to make sure that you're staying true to who the character is, but also not resting on the laurels of the success of the past, continuing to evolve the mythology, which is why this run of Exo Manowar, we're really pushing him into the cosmic realm, which is a place that he's uniquely qualified to go. And so far, people are really, really digging it.
It's kind of funny because Robert Venditti did a big, long run on it, but that was really fascinating. I really liked what he was doing. Matt Kinn, of course, is one of the best names in, as far as writing goes in comics today. So what's Matt going to bring to that character?
Well, you know, it's interesting that you define it that way. I think, and the guys are such good friends, Matt and Rob, it's very difficult for us to parse the two, because what Matt's doing right now with Exo Manowar couldn't have happened if Rob had not done his 56-issue run. Rob relaunched the character, built the origin, built the foundational elements of mythology, started to tap into some of the cosmic aspects. What we're doing now with Exo is really built on top of all that. The fact that we're able to go out into the cosmos and tell a story on Planet Goron, where Arik, Exo Manowar, gets conscripted into an alien army, becomes their general, then their emperor. You can only do that if we've told the story of the Visigoth who gets abducted by Rome, by aliens during the Roman times, then gets the suit of armor that's the most powerful suit in existence, comes to the modern day, and is a man at a time. They have to follow in a sequential order. And so it really does feel like these guys are working together on one giant run. And we hope the fans are enjoying that too. But we've built the book so that if you've never read Exo Manowar before, you can jump straight into the current book with Matt's run.
One of the things I like about Exo Manowar is how unique that situation is. I mean, a barbarian in something that resembles an Iron Man outfit, you know, that's kind of a scary thing to me. And yet the humanity of him that comes out in this as a result of all this, I really like. Is that one of the goals, to make him, he seems to be less barbarian and more human as time goes along? I don't know, there may not be a difference really, but to me there is. And I like the way that you guys are developing the character.
That's awesome to hear. I think he certainly is a Visigoth. Now, the Visigoths were people that lived at the time of Rome's height, and so they understood the concepts that were of modern society that Rome brought, aqueducts and chariots and society and legal systems and politics. They understood all that stuff. And so Arik is a man very much like we are today, but perhaps without the benefit of 1,400 years of evolution in terms of knowledge and the education that comes with that. But in terms of his humanity, we try very hard to make our characters relatable. And whether you're a man living today, living during the height of Rome, or living prehistory, there are certain universal concepts that man has to struggle with and that we have to deal with, and we're trying to bring that to the book now.
That's great. Now, some people don't like space stories. I mean, there are some people who think everything should be on Earth. But there's a lot of us who like space stories. I happen to really enjoy space stories because you can go replace, you know, the old phrase, where no man has gone before.
Right.
Taking that into consideration, how are you approaching the space stories? Are you, you know, you're talking about making the character relatable. Are the stories also going to be relatable when they take place in outer space?
We're telling a story, the way that we approach it is we're telling a story about a man who has been through the mill and who has left everything behind to become a farmer. And when he thinks he's out, he gets pulled right back into warfare. And that's a story that we could have told on Earth, we could tell in space. They both provide different opportunities. We liked telling that story in outer space because it gives us a new mythology to build for X Amount of War, and it gives us cool aliens, and it gives us big battles. And Matt is really utilizing it to the best effect. He's got this incredible action set piece in the first issue, which is essentially the siege on Normandy on D-Day, but on a cliff, on a vertical cliff. And so these guys get put in these pods, they're shot up on this cliff, the pods stick to the cliff, they then have to rappel up the mountain while people are shooting at them, while their buddies are falling on top of them, falling off the cliff. And so we take advantage of the setting in that way. But I think it is a story that will appeal to both people that like stories on Earth and stories in space.
I understand he's got bounty hunters after him, as I've read. And this is going to flesh out some of the Valiant outer space universe. What can you tell us about that right now?
Well, we've been very open about where the big pieces of the story are going. And we've been very open about the fact that we're leading a certain expectation that hopefully will accentuate the read when people read the book monthly because of the big twist coming. So Arik is on this alien planet, Gorn. He's left his people behind. He's left his wife behind. We don't know why. Clearly something bad has happened. He no longer wants to utilize the armor. He hates the armor. Something has happened between the armor and him. When he thinks he's at peace as a farmer, this army conscripts him into their battle. There's a huge civil war happening on planet Gorn. Three different races battling for power. Arik is roped into one of the sides, and he's a man of war. He's a born warrior. And so he really triumphs there. He becomes a general in the army. He eventually succeeds to become the emperor. Something goes horribly wrong during his reign, and all three races band together to hire this group of bounty hunters, much like in Empire Strikes Back. And Kenneth Rocafort has designed all the bounty hunters for us, and they're beautifully drawn. These amazingly cool sci-fi ideas. And so these bounty hunters are going to be chasing him down and potentially chasing him away from planet Gorn. We'll have to wait and see.
Wow. Well, it all sounds interesting because you guys have been in space before, but not for an extended period of time like this. So it's going to give you a chance to flesh out all these different parts of the Valiant universe. There must be things that you can't wait for fans to find out about, or things that are out there that are waiting for us to start to read.
Oh, absolutely. The cosmic side of the Valiant universe is something that we've been very consciously slow to build. We wanted to build the mythology of the Valiant universe, then Earth, and then Deadside, and the far, far away, piece by piece by piece. And we've been very excited to get out into the far reaches of space. Now is the right time for it. We've teased it a little bit in books like Divinity and Planet Death and Dead Hand and X Amount of War and Armor Hunters, also the crossover. But now we really, really want to build it out. And there's a number of books, not just X Amount of War, that are going to build it out over the next 12 to 18 months. We've got X Amount of War, clearly, Eternity, which is our spin-off of Divinity. So if you've been a Divinity fan, definitely check that out. If you've never read Divinity but you've been curious, jump straight into Eternity. And then also Psylords is coming up. And we love teasing. When we launched the initial X Amount of War, we hid Gilad, the Eternal Warrior, in there. And it wasn't until months later that people realized that guy with three scars who seemingly died in X Amount of War 1 was the Eternal Warrior, and that we would see him again. He didn't perish, in fact. The same thing has happened in our X Amount of War number 1 with Matt Kent this March. There is a scene in the book which we've hidden, a major, major, major component of the future Valiant universe, of the space Valiant universe. And I think it's going to be a lot of fun for fans to come back several months from now and say, oh my God, they knew where they were going. They did this thing over here, and it paid off all these months later.
Well, you talked about the first issue selling real well and the fact that he's been around for 25 years. You have to ask, as a barbarian in a suit of armor, what is it about the character that makes him so popular with people?
I think it's two very popular genres smashed together in a way that you've never seen before. So it's a genre hybrid that gives you a tone that is completely unique. You cannot get a story like X-Men Manowar anywhere else in comics or in entertainment. You can't go to movies or video games or paperbacks and get this kind of story. So if you're excited about the idea of a Visigoth, a primitive man who is used to hand-to-hand combat, controlling the most powerful weapon in existence, and being a man at a time, this is the only place in all of entertainment history that you can get this kind of a story, and I think that makes it resonate so strongly. It's so hard to find something that's not been done before. And here's two amazing things that people love smashed together to make something completely new.
Now, as I understand it, he's got into another business here. You debuted a line of beer for X-O Manowar. Why don't you talk a little bit about that?
Sure. To celebrate the big launch, we partnered with Pipeworks, Pipeworks Brewery, a local brewery here in Chicago, and they made the X-O Manowar Golden Galactic Ale. We had the release party last night, which honored and raised money for Hope for the Day, which is an amazing charity out here. And the fans went crazy. The beer is delicious. It'll be on sale in New York and Illinois on tap, and then available online to buy in bottles as well. So we're excited to be able to help Pipeworks and Hope for the Day.
Is it going to be through the Valiant site, or do we have to go to Pipeworks?
It won't be through the Valiant site. We'll be promoting on our social media where people can get it. It'll be through third-party vendors that work with Pipeworks.
That's cool. So how long do you think you'll be in outer space? Of course, it probably depends on sales and things like that. But do you have a certain amount of time you expect them to be out there? Because everybody comes back to home every once in a while. Do you think you'll be out there for quite a long time or a short period? What do you think?
Listen, first of all, I want to tackle sales. Sales are certainly a component, but we pride ourselves in not letting sales affect the storytelling. We have a long-term plan here, which is crazy because we've built, before we even launched the book, we knew exactly where we were going. We'd written 15, Smatter written 15 scripts. Issues all the way up to issue 9 were being drawn simultaneously. And we were making a huge bet that this book would work. And thank God it's worked. The biggest selling independent book of all year, which has given us the boldness to continue the run. Will he come back? Yes, he certainly will be in space for the first year. We've announced that. Next year, we've got a big, big story in Harbinger Wars 2. And it would seem fitting that Arik would make his return right as everything hits the fan in Harbinger Wars 2, doesn't it?
Now, you've dived right into something else I wanted to talk about. Harbinger
this
Wars...
This amazing beat in the background?
Yeah, yeah. You can never know what happens at a convention. But you talked about Harbinger Wars 2.
Yes.
For somebody who doesn't know what a Harbinger is, why don't you give a brief description for that?
Sure. A Harbinger in the Valiant Universe is someone that has incredible powers of the mind. And so it could be someone that is able to spontaneously combust and control that fire, or someone that can read someone's mind, or someone, we have these very, very rare beings, these Omegas, that have the full scope of the Harbinger powers. They can read minds, have telekinesis, telepathy, the full scope of it. And it's a book that's really about characterization, and it really tries to deal with what would happen in reality if you had these powers. What mistakes would you make, and what consequences would they have? And our fans love it, I think, partly because it's a book where they can't tell who the good guy is, who the bad guy is. It changes from point of view to point of view. And half our fans think that Pete Stanchek, the young protagonist, is the hero, and Toya Harada, the older protagonist, is the villain. And the other half of our fans believe the other way. So it really asks you to figure out what your moral compass takes you.
Now, the first Harbinger Wars, those people were in one place, but now that this one's coming up, those people are in a very different place, and you've got very different characters involved with it, too. What can people do to prepare for Harbinger Wars 2? Are there books they should be reading so they can understand when it starts to happen?
We like to not force our readership to buy a bunch of tie-ins or prerequisite reading. If you're excited about Harbinger Wars 2, jump straight into Harbinger Wars 2 number 1. If you like that book, go back, read Harbinger, read Bloodshot, read Harbinger Wars. There'll be a couple books that will tie into Harbinger Wars 2, but they will be optional tie-ins. Even Harbinger War, the one we did in 2013, Harbinger Wars itself, you only had to read the 4 issues that were Harbinger Wars, even though there were 12 issues that made up what we considered the larger optional reading. And so I say don't worry about it. Take a look at the preview pages, see if you're interested, and if you are, buy issue number 1. Don't stress about having to spend $150 buying in tie-ins. That's not how we roll.
Okay. When is Harbinger Wars 2 going to start? Do you have that plan?
Yes, summer next year.
Okay. So we've got a little time to catch up on the characters if we want to. If we want to read the books and kind of enjoy those characters before that happens, we have plenty of time for that.
Oh, absolutely. And fair warning, anyone that hasn't read a Valiant book before, we are the best reviewed publisher in the business. If you read our books, you're going to get hooked. But it's worth it. There are awesome characters and awesome books. The creators give it their all. We've got some of the best names in comics working on the books.
I wanted to ask you about the Ninjak versus the Valiant universe, because I got to interview some of the actors at last year's New York Comic Con. It was a great time, a lot of fun. How's that doing right now? What stage is it in? How soon has it come out? I don't even know if it's out. Maybe it hasn't happened yet. What's going on with that?
Yeah, it's going great. We have a panel actually today at C2E2. We're going to be showing the first 5 minutes of the first episode, as well as a couple of new sequences, a bloodshot fight and a trailer. We're about halfway through shooting it. It's a 6-episode series. We're about halfway through shooting it now, and it'll debut later this year.
Great, great. Now, in order to get to that, we're going to have to go to the Valiant site, or is there a different site we'll go for that?
It's we should talk about what it is. It's a live-action web series that we're producing based on our characters, in which Ninjak steals an item from MI6, and the rest of the Valiant universe is sent out to get him, and he fights his way through the Valiant universe. We've got a bunch of really fun social stars involved in the project, like Jason David Frank, Michael Rowe plays Deadshot, and Arrow and Blank, and the other one, what's the other one? Flash. Green Arrow and Flash. It will be online. We haven't announced where you'll be able to see it yet, but once we announce the date, we'll announce where it can be seen.
Okay, that'll be great. I have to ask, because I got to interview those two actors, they were very comedic about a lot of stuff. One of the things we got toward the end of the interview, they mentioned, is that they thought there should be a spinoff with Livewire and Armstrong and sort of a sitcom. And I was just kind of curious if you guys had ever, in any way, seriously considered anything along those lines.
We've got an entire division, Valiant Digital, but we announced the New York Comic Con along with Ninjak Versus. We have a ton of stuff planned. So we're making more announcements later this year, but there's a bunch of shows that we're working on at the moment.
But we don't know about that one. You're going to save that one. In that case, that happens, that'll be a surprise kind of most people.
Yes, exactly right.
Okay. Be surprised to the actors, too, if that happens.
Yeah.
You know, they were quite funny about that. It makes me want to see the series more, because they were so passionate about what they were doing with it. Is that true of all the other ones? Because I really only got to talk to those two, but when I saw them on stage, they were very interested in what was going on with it. Has that been true with all the whole process? Because, you know, you've got so many different people involved in making a production like this, but it feels like it's a project of love to do this kind of thing. Has that been true for every part of it, seems like?
Yes, I think it's true. It certainly has, and I think it's true for everything that we do. Our paramount goal in everything we do is to make a quality product, whether it's a great story in a comic book or it's a great live-action web series. And in order to do that, you need people to give not 110%, but 210%. And people do that when they're passionate. We don't want people here because of the money. We don't want people here because they think it's the right career move. We want people here because they want to do this no matter what. And so we've been very ruthless about bringing in writers and artists and inkers and editors and actors for the live-action show and directors like Bat and the Sun, who are our partners on Ninjak vs. the Valiant Universe. Every single person involved in everything that we do wants to do this more than they want to do anything else. And that's, I think, why the quality is so high. And that's why when fans read one Valiant book, it never ends there. 6 months later, they're reading the entire line. Because you just can't get it anywhere else. You can't get that kind of quality.
You just brought a point up that I'm interested. Believe it or not, there are still some people out there who have never tried a Valiant book. What would you say to those people? How would you attract them to pick up their first book and read their first Valiant book?
I would say take a look at what's out there about Valiant. If anything interests you, buy a number one. It's always a great place to start. I guarantee you'll like it. If you want a recommendation, check out The Valiant. It's a 4-issue miniseries, small commitment. We have the trades for just $10. Paolo Rivera is the artist, one of the best artists in the business. Jeff Lemire and Matt Kent co-wrote it. They're two of the finest writers in the business. It will give you an overview of the tone of the Valiant universe and why it's so different than Marvel and DC and so exciting and so modern. And it stars almost every one of our characters. So it's a big Kingdom Come-esque universe-wide story. And you'll get a flavor for everyone.
That's great. You've been involved with Valiant for a long time. How much longer do you think you're going to be involved with it? Because you're just as passionate in talking with you as the other folks are. I don't see you stopping with Valiant anytime soon. Is this kind of a lifelong project for you to keep Valiant going and growing?
Yeah, it's my nightmare is not being involved with Valiant. There's two ways I would not be here. One, if it was the best thing for Valiant. And two, is if they dragged me kicking and screaming out the door. I love these characters. I grew up reading them, and I missed them greatly when they were gone, and I made it my life's mission to bring them back and give them the ongoing stability and sustainability that they deserve.
Great. Well, much luck with it and much success with it. I think you guys are a grown company, and I think even more people are going to take notice of you guys and give you the sales success you guys deserve, I think. So thank you.
Thanks, Wayne. Thanks for the support, man. Appreciate it.
People need dramatic examples to shake them out of apathy, and I can't do that as Bruce Wayne. As a man, I'm flesh and blood. I can be ignored, I can be destroyed, but as a symbol.
Get the latest from the comics universe. News, interviews, previews, and reviews. Listen to the weekly Wayne's Comics Podcast so you can keep reading your comics.
am at C2E2, and I am talking with somebody that's going to be working with Quantum and Woody, and I'm just sure I'm going to fracture your name, so why don't you go ahead and say it?
It's Daniel Kibblesmith.
All right. See, I would have messed that up. So, Quantum and Woody, talk to me about taking on that project, because we were just talking about the fact that Exo Manowar has been around for 25 years. This is another set of long-lived characters. What was it like to take on that project and make that happen?
I mean, it was exciting. I'm such a big fan that it felt like I was kind of getting the keys to the coolest car. Loved the 2013 Quantum and Woody that James Asmus and Tom Fowler and then later, artists like Ming Doyle did, and was just so in love with the way that they could balance humor and family drama and superhero action all in the same book, and just couldn't wait to get a crack at them when I started doing Valiant High. They were some of the characters I was most excited about sneaking into the high school alternate universe. So it's thrilling. I'm really excited.
Talk about Quantum and Woody, though, because they have this really weird buddy relationship, kind of. It's something different than I've seen in most comics and in most even movies and TV shows. How are you going to approach that as far as them being, you know, friends and yet in some ways adversaries with each other? How do you think that's going to happen?
I think a lot of the way that you're describing, I think it's a back-to-basics approach because they've been out of the spotlight for a while. So Eric Henderson is Quantum. He's kind of the straight-laced guy. He's the black one. Woody Van Shelton is the delinquent. He's the white one. And they're two foster brothers who grew up together and then reunited to solve the murder of their father under mysterious circumstances. So in their pursuit of what happened to their father, they're in this atomic explosion that gives them these powers. Quantum can generate force fields. Woody can generate explosive blasts. But it also binds their atomic structures together. So they have to clang these gauntlets together every 24 hours or they'll both dissipate in energy. So you've got these two brothers who've been estranged for years who basically hate each other's guts. And now they're joined at the hip for probably the rest of their lives if they don't kill each other.
Which leads to the question, are you going to start over? What's the previous history? You talked about the previous versions that you liked. Are those still in reality? Is this kind of a rebirth setup? How are you doing this as far as previous continuities?
Same continuity, new status quo. So Quantum and Woody have been out of the spotlight for a while, and we're going to find out what happened to them in the meantime. When we rejoin Quantum and Woody, they're totally estranged. They're not living together. They're not speaking. And Woody shows up at the apartment once a day to clang bracelets to buy them another 24 hours of life on this planet. And every day, Eric tries to apologize. And the big mystery is, what did Eric do wrong to break up their relationship? And you get to find out the big secret that he's been keeping from him, and hopefully the adventure that brings them back together.
See, this is one of those things about Valiant that I really like, is the fact that the characters are human in that way, and to see their humanity, and this kind of a thing is, I could see people doing this kind of a thing, just to continue on. So obviously you're going to resolve that or change that relationship as it goes forward, because they're going to have to be together at some point. You're not going to have Quantum one issue and Woody the next or something. You have in mind how you're going to do that. I won't ask for spoilers, but you have already figured out how you're going to kind of move this relationship forward?
Yeah, we have a lot of plans. The status quo is that they are with each other as little as they have to be. And these are two guys who will never be rid of each other. And it's such a great metaphor for family. So they're living totally separate lives, which means we have totally separate stories for Quantum and Woody when we start. And the overarching story is, how do we get them back into each other's lives? Because the book's called Quantum and Woody. We're not switching off issues. These are the two brothers. And that's what people want to see, and that's what I'm excited about writing.
Are there things you're going to do that we haven't seen in the past with Quantum and Woody? Because, as you mentioned, there have been successful runs in the past. It's kind of a challenge to take people that we already know and have gone through certain situations and not duplicate what we've seen. Have you guys got in mind different places you want to take them?
I hope so, yeah. I was such a big fan of the last time we saw them, of the past few volumes. And one of the greatest gifts with those is how much they put on the table in terms of that universe. Like, Quantum and Woody are in the Valiant universe, and they pop up in team-ups and overlap occasionally. But tonally, they're also a little bit off to the side. So they can have adventures with, like, really out-there mad science. there's a lot of like political commentary in the previous Quantum and Woody's, and I think we're...
I would imagine that's coming as well.
Once again, we're in a time where things are kind of ripe for political commentary. So what we want to do is bring back two characters who have been on the shelf for a little too long that people have been missing and give them everything that they want. But there's so much to play with that I think it can only lead to like more surprises, higher stakes, probably bigger explosions knowing those guys.
Now, I understand you have another job that qualifies you to do some humor and infuse some of that into this book. Do you want to talk a little bit about that?
Sure. I also am a full-time writer for The Late Show with Stephen Colbert on CBS. Yeah. So a lot of political commentary in that as well. Yeah, I think probably more. And it's great. You know, we stay on top of the news and we try to represent it to people every day at the end of the day, get them a little bit of catharsis, a little understanding, and jokes, hopefully jokes.
It should be fun. It's going to be fun. The thing you got to be careful of is not to do what you've done in your night job, shall we say. Because that's a night show, so we'll call this your day job and the other one your night job.
Sure.
So you'll have to get jokes that we haven't seen necessarily on Stephen Colbert.
Exactly. Well, yes, for a variety of reasons. Yeah, I mean, it's a different hat, you know. Writing, one of my favorite things about getting to do comics is that it's the only place I write narrative and character-driven stuff and, you know, straight fiction. So in Quantum and Woody, most of the humor is going to come out of their personalities and the relationships and, you know, these brothers with a lot of baggage clashing with each other. And then the joy of getting to do the Colbert Show is that I get to say what's in my head about the news every day and process how I'm dealing with it and talk about real-world events. And the protagonist is kind of America. You know, it's everybody. We're just trying to come up with a point of view to help us kind of explain and survive what's going on in 2017.
So, since you have connections with Stephen Colbert, might he show up in Quantum and Woody at some point?
Oh, like an art cameo? Like an Easter egg?
Yeah.
That's it. That's a great idea. I'm gonna say fingers crossed.
So we should keep an eye on the sidelines as well as the main character.
Yeah, you never know. It might be a crowd scene. It might be very small.
Well, be good. So how long do you estimate, do you have like stories plotted out for like a year or two? How much in advance do you work as far as writing the plots?
It depends on the project. With this one, there's a lot of stuff that we've committed to. We have a good idea of the big picture and where we want it to go. But we're leaving ourselves a lot of room for discovery as well. So this comes out in December. Quantum and Woody comes out in December. So I know that as soon as we sit down to actually start locking scripts and stuff, the situations are going to get crazy and escalate, and there will be things that we want to top every issue.
So this is the holiday time. This is a good gift to give somebody who likes comics for the holidays.
I think it comes out on December 27th. So let's think of it as a New Year's resolution.
Okay, all right, that'll be better. Okay, that'll work a little bit. Now, you mentioned something that I thought we should talk about a little bit, and that is Valiant High, which is, as I understand it, is a digital, it's a Comixology exclusive comic.
Exactly, yeah. It's from their Comixology Originals line. So in the same way that Netflix and Hulu have started introducing exclusive shows, Comixology Originals are new comics that debut only on Comixology. So anybody with a Comixology Unlimited subscription has it already, and you can also purchase it there.
Oh, interesting. So you can buy them individually as well as get Unlimited, or do you have to get the Unlimited?
No, you can buy the individual issues if you... Yeah.
Because I don't have to have Unlimited, and I'm like, oh no, I'm never going to see this. Talk about what the concept is, because this is something a little different than what Valiant normally does. Can you explain to people who don't know what Valiant High, what the basic premise is?
Yeah, definitely. It's a high school alternative universe. If you're familiar with that concept from other places, it's used in TV or fan fiction. But basically what it means is that you take a bunch of existing characters, in this case the superheroes from the Valiant universe, and you reimagine them as the archetypes of a bunch of high school students, like the cast of a John Hughes movie. So you get to tell a story about teens, like a teen soap opera, with all of the kinds of humor and romance that come from teen stories, using the archetypes and the personalities from the Valiant universe. And it is really, really fun for me to write. I'm having a good time.
I have to ask, because I just talked about Exo Manowar. Is Exo Manowar going to be a teenage barbarian as far as high school goes? Is that how you're going to handle him?
Yeah, basically. yeah, so Exo Manowar is the star running back for the Valiant High Manowars. So their mascot is a jellyfish named Manny the Manowar. And that's pretty much how we approach the characters. So Exo Manowar is about a warrior who wears armor. And in a high school, the warriors who wear armor are on the football fields. So it was all about coming up with discoveries like that. Quantum in the Prime Valiant universe is a straight-laced guy who's always trying to work in an official capacity, be an authority figure, like in the military or as a security guard. So teenage Quantum is the hall monitor. And it's just this really, for me, really fun process of like almost treating it like Easter eggs, finding out like where everybody would fit in this new setting when you map one set of archetypes onto another set of archetypes.
See, one that kind of interests me is how you're going to handle this character is Faith. Because teenagers sometimes are not the kindest people in the world when it comes to people who say are a little heavier than others. How are you going to handle that? This gives you a chance to do social commentary as far as that things go in Valiant High. Are you going to approach like that kind of a thing, or is this something you're going to kind of avoid? How are you going to handle that?
I think I just wanted to treat it the way I would treat it if we were talking about people that we actually knew. I was very heavy in high school, and yeah, people can be, teenagers especially, can be very cruel to each other. But at the same time, everybody still has friends. You know, people still date. They find their clubs or their thing. And I don't think we wanted to dwell on it as much as just have a version of Faith that is confidence, you know, is a beautiful person, you know, inside and out, and has friends and a normal life. I wanted to do something other than the sort of after-school special bullying story and just move on to, like, these kids know each other. They love each other. They're going to have an adventure that brings them together. So, yeah, we don't do any hard-hitting issues like drug use or, you know, bullying. It's more of, like, an Archie kind of story where it's, like, the big mystery of what's going on at Valiant High.
Well, I've got to ask, if these guys are the teenagers, who are the adults at Valiant High? Who are the teachers?
What's totally arbitrary and fun about this is just that I get to pick. So if there's a character who I perceive as like more of an authority figure, like Toyo Harada is the principal of Valiant High. And there were other characters who I thought would make better teachers than students, like Dr. Mirage. She has a title. She's a doctor. So we made her the biology teacher. And I think one of the very first decisions we made was that Bloodshot would be the gym coach. Because it's more about personalities than any kind of rule book. So we just sort of chose the path of least resistance on who felt right where. And once you commit to one character being in a certain place, one thing kind of leads to another. Like when you make Harada the principal, it's very natural to borrow the student's mentor relationship from the Prime Valiant universe and then make Amanda McKee, Livewire, make her sort of like the main character. So you can still tell the story of a young woman falling out with her teacher. It's just that in this case, it's literally a student and a teacher.
Now, your comedy background is going to come in handy for this as well, because, you know, there's got to be humor. Who amongst the Valiant is probably the jokester of the bunch? Because there's always one in every class, somebody who has to tell the jokes. Do you have in mind somebody who's going to be that kind of person?
I would say Woody, but he hasn't shown up yet, because he's also a total delinquent. So, I guess delinquents, pun intended. So, I would have assumed that it'd be him, but Armstrong, I'm going to say. Teenage Armstrong, he's kind of like the warrior poet guy. The guy whose jacket smells a little bit like smoke, if you know what I mean. So
that's great. It sounds a lot of fun. Has it started? When's it going to start?
Issues 1 and 2 are available now on Comixology, and issue 3 comes out on April 26th.
How often is this going to come out?
Monthly. Monthly for a 4-part miniseries.
Is there a time of the month we can look for it?
Yeah, like late 20s. Yeah, like number 3 is going to come out on the 26th. Number 4 comes out late May, around the same time.
Are there any other projects that you're going to do for Valiant that we should keep aware of, or other comic-related stuff? Because your night job is going to keep you busy, probably. You probably don't have a lot of free time to do any other stuff. Anything else that we might look for?
I do not have a lot of free time, but it's worth it. Just Quantum and Woody in December. Everybody get ready.
Okay, looking forward to it. Thanks so much for talking with me, and we'll look forward to seeing these good things.
Thank you so much for having me.
That's a wrap for this episode. Be sure to be back next week when I'll have another great interview. But until then, keep reading your comics.